Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jock Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 94 of Jock Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig. What's sit rep, bro?
Let's see here. 48 seconds. The light is red, and we are 5x5, my friend.
Now that we have that information, I hope you guys are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so as Big Joe and Big Rig and I discuss a whole lot of things going on in the sports world. First, though, episode 94, who comes to mind?
Man, damn sure not Randy Gregory. How about Charles Haley, 94?
DeMarcus Ware, 94. And that seems to be a wrap right there.
Roger
that. I don't think any other 94s matter in Dallas Cowboys lore.
That's right. We got two Hall of Famers. One, one 5 Super Bowl ring winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one a Super Bowl.
Right.
With the Denver Broncos, and he was a force in that game.
Man, what a great number.
I got number love for 94.
Roger
I don't
that.
Know why they gave. You know, I was going to say, I don't know why they gave it to Randy Gregory, but yes, I do. They thought. It was a dumb thought, though, that he was going to be that guy. Or maybe they gave it to him to inspire him to be that guy. But he had so many off-the-field issues that I don't know why you would ever think he would be that guy.
Yeah, he was suspended for, like, what, 40 of the 60 games he played or something.
Yeah, he just and it's the consistency that would make me think that he couldn't be that guy.
Stupid stuff. But go ahead.
You know, man.
Off the field, stupid stuff.
Yeah, but I would say, you know, he got some real psychological issues, and weed helped him cope with that. And so, but he was smoking it at a time where it wasn't legal, and so he came around too early. Now he can smoke it all day long, wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
You know, that's the luck of the draw sometimes. That being said, if you're ever involved in a car accident, what you need to do, especially if it's an 18-wheeler, they hit you, somebody else's negligence has caused you some pain, you need to pick up the phone. You should already have the number dialed in. Dial 972-934-8900. And if Grinning Law accepts you as a client, let me tell y'all something, man. Real talk. It's been a great day for you. It really has been. Because they focus on everything. They do everything. So all you got to worry about is healing and renewal, getting your mind right, getting your body right, and getting your life back. That's what they want you focused on, nothing else. So if you need a doctor, they'll find you one, set up the appointment. All you got to do is show up and go. You need a specialist, they'll find you one, set up an appointment. All you got to do is show up and go. They do all these things so that all you got to focus on is what? Healing and renewal. Get your mind right. Get your life back, right? Get your life back. It's that simple. Mind, body, life. That's what they want working for you. Now, understand, picking up the phone and calling them, consultation, free. Understand, they don't get paid anything, nothing, unless you get paid. So, you never have to wonder where you fit on the priority list. How important are you to them? You're at the top of the list because they don't eat unless you eat. And then, as I always like to tell people, man, the best thing about them is they guide you through what can be a really long, tedious, intimidating process. They'll tell you when to turn left and when to turn right. They'll tell you when to hold tight. They'll tell you when to walk, when to run, when to sprint. They'll tell you when to, hey, sit back. Let's retreat for a second. If you just follow what they tell you to do, it's all good. Because they've been through the process countless times. They know how it's going to go. They walk you through it, and that's one of the best things that they do, so that you're always in the loop. You should always feel comfortable because Grinning Law is working for you. While you sleeping, they working because all they want you focused on is healing and renewal. They want you to get your mind back, Get your body back and get your life back. That's really what they want. It seemed like the Dallas Mavericks was in a car wreck yesterday, bro.
Oh, yeah. Most.
That was a ball game. Mavericks, Clippers, first round of the Western Conference playoffs. And the Mavericks were basically non-competitive when it mattered. They go down 109-97, although there was no Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi didn't play. And so Kawhi's last name is not Leonard. I'm having an old man moment. What is Kawhi's last name?
You know how you do that. You got to Google that shit because I'm going to tell you, as soon as you ask me, you go blank. As soon as you ask me, I go blank. I think the boy's name is Kawhi Leonard, man.
Okay, I guess it is Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, what you doing?
Hey, man. I'm just saying,
old man moment, that old man shit is contagious, dog. That's what I'm saying. I'm old as you. You know how many people I do that to? I go a blank and then they go a blank and it's like, yeah, we're going to get back around to it. And we got back around to it quicker than usual. But no.
Well, I knew it was Kawhi Leonard. Now that I'm thinking about it. Yeah, so Kawhi Leonard missed the game and the Clips did not care. They beat up the Mavericks. The Mavericks made several runs in the second half. Played a lot better in the second half, but it was never they never got within shouting distance.
Mavericks played sleepy in the first half because the energy they showed in the third quarter and the beginning of the fourth quarter, especially when they put Green in there, and he just started tearing ass up and down the court. You know, I don't know. I just thought they were sleepy as hell. They was kind of lethargic in the first quarter.
This. At one level, was not a surprise. My only concern, I think the Clippers are a really good team. They finished fourth in the West, a game ahead of the Mavericks, so we know that they're a good team. They got probably four Hall of Famers on their team, and Kawhi Leonard. Yeah, that's his name, Kawhi Leonard. Paul George, James Harden, and Russell Westbrook. Four eventual Hall of Famers. Yep. You know, but, you know, George is the best player right now. Kawhi is probably the second best player. James Harden, not nearly as good as he used to be. Still a dangerous player. And then Russell Westbrook has accepted his role to be a pest and a defensive guy and an energy guy. He still shoot too much, but, you know, you got to give him something because he used
they
to
cannot,
be.
They cannot keep up that three-point shooting that they had today.
No. Well, see, that's what I was going to say. So, my only concern about the Mavericks was the Mavericks were playing great basketball, and then they got 9 days off. And whenever you get that much time off, you just wonder, will you start slow or will you start fast?
Didn't Luka and Kyrie sit out the last two games or something?
Yep, they did that too.
Yeah.
And so Tyronn Lue understood that with Kawhi out, he told the Clippers before the game, hey, don't ease your way into the game. And I'm paraphrasing. Start with some force, start fast, and let's see what we can do. And here's why. The Clippers really wanted to win game one. They're like, well, duh. No, they wanted to win game one because now if they lose game two, it's not the end of the world for them. They're trying to get Kawhi, who's got some kind of knee injury, as much rest as possible. So if you lose game one, then you feel like, dog, we need to play Kawhi game two, whether he 100% or not, or 90% or not, because we don't need to go down 0-2. So, now that you're up 1-0, you have the luxury of resting him if you want to. And, you know, let's play devil's advocate for the Clippers. If you go up 3-0, you can rest him to game 6 or game 5, you know. Now, if it's 1-1, you have to say, okay, we need to bring him back 1-1, or do we wait to see until we fall behind in the series? If we go up 2-1, then fine, we give him another day. So, you know. But it all starts with they won today, so now they don't have to answer that question until they see how game two plays out.
Yeah, if you got Kawhi Leonard on your team, you are used to playing without him, and then you are used to getting him acclimated. I mean, he gets pretty acclimated. I mean, he gets acclimated pretty damn fast. You know, it don't take a game or two. When he comes back in the lineup, they ready right now. Yeah. So you're used to bringing him in and out of the lineup and going without him for long stretches. So that's just part of his genius. You know, the price of his genius to have him is he going to be out for a while.
No, that's actually a great point. The Mavericks, so, you know, the Mavericks trailed 56-30 at halftime. And this is really all you need to know about halftime. At halftime, Luka Doncic, 11 points, nobody else in double figures. And he was 4-13, 1-7 from threes. Kyrie Irving had 6. He was 1-6, 0-3 for threes. And that's why they were down.
What them assist totals look like?
They didn't have no assists. They had 5 assists in the first half.
Here's what killed me. The running game in basketball is the pick and roll. You get 10 dunks from your boy Gafford in a couple of games ago. I just saw Luka look at Lively and he just kind of said, maybe, you know. He passed up a lot of times where he could have just did the pick and roll. You got to do that. You got to get them guys involved early so to give you the space to do what you want to do. Just kind of like the Clippers did with Zubac. Just went right down in the post. And if he going to start giving you a problem, what them other guys going to do? Because the Clippers played inside out. They out-Mavericked the Mavericks.
Yeah, and there's a lot of talk about whether the Clippers would go small, but they didn't have to today. They got a lot of offensive rebounds, and they just controlled the game. But I think the bigger – and so I was looking at it from a couple different angles because you down 56-30 at halftime. The initial thought is to go the Mavericks sucked in every area of the game, and that really wasn't the case. It was two things going on because 56 points in the first half is not necessarily means that you played raggedy defense. 30 points doesn't necessarily mean the Clippers played great defense, although the Clippers played pretty good. The bottom line was the Mavericks could not hit anything.
Nothing.
I mean, you know, sometimes you go to them stretches where you can't miss as a team. Well, this was the opposite. The Mavericks, you know, they literally could not hit anything. 30 points in the first half, fewest that they've ever scored in a playoff game. 22% from the field. Worst half in the last 25 playoff games for them. 8 points in the paint was the fewest that they had scored in the first half this year. I mean, and then, you know, I mean, so they never really gave themselves a chance. And here's the other thing that happened. So you didn't get that. You didn't get anything from your first half, and that's why you're down 26. And then when you look at the other big thing in the game, and this happens, but if you're going to win the series – it can't happen. And no, I'm not overreacting to game one. I'm just telling you what it is. Is in a basketball, you always ask yourself, okay, why is it that the teams play so good at home and then they play so poorly on the road? Typically, you can look at your role players. Because Luka ended up, he didn't shoot well, but he ended up with 33. 13 rebounds. 6 assists. Kyrie went off in the third quarter. He ended up with 31. 10 of 18 from the field.
I think he was 8 of 8 in the third quarter.
That is correct. P.J. Washington, the only other dude who scored in double figures, he had 11. Gafford, 1 for 4, 3 points. Lively, 1 for 3, 3 points. Tim Hardaway Jr.,
that's where your pick and roll come in, though. That's yeah. Where them guys got to get some inside points.
Yeah, they didn't do nothing.
None of that.
You know, and Tim Hardaway Jr. did what he usually does this year. 6 points, 9 factors. So they didn't. Maxi Kleber, who has zero confidence in his shot these days, 27 minutes, 3 points. Yeah. They literally got nothing else. Matter of fact, aside from P.J. Washington, Tim Hardaway was the next highest scorer with 6. They had 5 other dudes played and didn't score more than 4 points. You know, Derrick Jones Jr., 18 minutes, 0-4, no points. I mean, it was ridiculous. I don't expect them to shoot that poorly again. And, you know, they played a lot better. They scored more points in the third quarter than they scored in the first half. So, you know, that's what it is for game one. I don't think you spend a whole lot of time dissecting the blowout. I think Joe is right. They've had success with Gafford and Live, and you know that was Live's first game in 2 weeks because he had a sprained knee, and yeah, then his mom died of cancer.
Away. Yeah, that's terrible.
So it's a lot weighing on that young man, and so I expect the Mavericks. I don't know that they'll win game two, although they need to. But I feel confident that they'll come out and play much, much better in game two than they did in game one. They were down at one point 29 or 30, got it cut to about 14, 15. And then they had a chance. I mean, a chance to kind of make it interesting. I think the Clippers missed a three. And it just went off of Lively's fingertips, I think, and went out of bounds. And then they got the ball back and hit another three and went back up 18. Whereas if the Mavericks can grab that rebound and go get a two or a three, all of a sudden you've cut the lead to 12 or 13. And you have a chance to make it interesting. But, I mean, you're down 29 in the NBA in the second half. That's a long way back, bro.
Well, I find it interesting that some of your football stuff leaks into basketball because we was talking about one time, how do you sign, why would you sign Julio Jones? Well, Julio going to make a play or a couple of plays all year that you need. Right. So why do you got Westbrook? Westbrook came in and shot the hell out the ball, gave you high energy, and you go, damn, I forgot them fools had Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? He's not prominent in the box score. You know, he plays sometimes, sometimes he don't. But, boy, when he played, he was outstanding. And he was scrappy as hell. And I just thought, there you go. There's your Julio Jones analogy right there. Why you got Westbrook? He come in there, did what he did, and James Harden turned into damn James Harden today. Who knew?
Now, that's pretty accurate because Westbrook played 23 minutes. But he scored 13 points, 5 of 8 from the field, 2 for 4 from threes, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. That's a lot of work.
You want him to play 40 minutes so he can screw the game up.
Exactly.
That's what you want him to do. But, man, he was just right today.
And Harden was very efficient today, 28 points, 8 assists. I mean, they got 20 points from Zubac and 15 rebounds. I mean, you know, everybody, all of their role players played well. I'm not sure any of the Mavericks role players played well. And there you have it. 109-97. Clippers win. And now we're on to game two. And, you know, I don't like to say must win. Because we've seen the Mavericks play the Clippers before. All the road teams won. So I think it would be would really like to win. Need to win. But it's not a must win. The series is not over if they lose. Because remember, they still got to come back to Dallas. Makes it much more difficult to win 4 out of 5. But series is not over even if they lose. They prefer to win. But even if they lose, it's not over. And I think it's going at least 6 anyway. And so to me, game 2 is really interesting. That'll be a 9:30 tip, I think. That's going to be a late night. And I think they're playing, when is that, Tuesday, bro?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So that'd be a late night.
It is right what it is. That mean an old man will take a nap. That's what that mean right there. Less yard work and more sleeping.
I like it. But that's your Dallas Mavericks. You know, we'll see if they pick it up. But it's time for the role players to step up and get it done. In game 2. Shifting topics, did you hear what your boy Dak Prescott said the other day? He's been kind of quiet lately.
No, I did not.
Dak Prescott said he does. Calvin Watkins asked a question. Friend of the program.
Yes.
One of my best friends in the business. He asked Dak, did he have any fear of not getting a contract done? I'm paraphrasing here. And Dak looked at him and said, I don't fear anything. I'd love to be in Dallas. It's where I am right now. It's where I want to be. But if it doesn't happen, you know, I don't fear going somewhere else. And again, I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of what he said. And I have come to a conclusion, and I'm not breaking no news here. And I think we've talked about a ton of hypotheticals regarding Dak. But it seems to me, because I had a long conversation with a friend of mine the other day, one of my colleagues, probably about 30 minutes, about Dak. And I just had a conclusion. I said, perhaps the Cowboys have decided that he can't get it done. And so that's why they've decided we'll let him play out his contract and we'll just move on to the next one. And the next one is Trey Lance. We'll give him an opportunity to start and play for a year and see if he can make it happen. And if he can't, well, there's our quarterback for the next few years. And if he can't, we will get on that journey and start looking for a quarterback. And I say that because if you think about it, dog, just in the big picture, when have you ever seen a guy who finished second in the league in the MVP voting, who has been somewhere between 9 and 12 ranked best quarterback in the league, a guy who is lauded for his leadership skills, when have you ever had to see that dude fight time after time after time as a quarterback to get his money? Most of the time, if you're a good quarterback and a good leader, teams bend over backward to just be like, hey, here goes the money, let's move on to the next issue. And that's not the case here. What are your thoughts on that?
Other than the second in the MVP, I always compare Dak to Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a good leader. He's a good quarterback. Washington was reluctant to give him his money. He got his money with Minnesota. Minnesota didn't want to give him his money. I think Kirk Cousins made $300 plus million and never had an MVP or never won multiple playoff games or never been to the Super Bowl. If Matt Ryan don't have the 1 year where he went to the Super Bowl, his career would have played out like that. But Matt Ryan don't fit in that category because the Falcons wanted him. He just got too old. But in his prime, would you say Kirk Cousins is in his prime? No, probably not. Is Dak in his prime? Yeah. So I guess I just answered your question. I just talked myself into answering your question because there's no guy that's been like that that we thought, why is he leaving?
I mean, even when they franchised him twice, not once but twice. Like, and see what happens is when you get a macro look at things, that's how you can make bigger decisions and judgments. And you go, you know what? Maybe they never really believed in him anyway. Like 100% believe, like, this is our Messiah, football Messiah.
No, I say not. What was the year where he played with a bunch of receivers rated number 74, rated 74 overall?
2017.
Okay, they played that whole year with nobody, right?
Well, that's when they went and got Amari Cooper midway through the season.
Right.
But see, the other interesting thing is Dak has had two bad years, 2017 and 2022. He bounced back from each of those years with outstanding seasons. 2018, he was 22-8, played a really good quarterback. And obviously, last year, 36 touchdown passes, 9 interceptions, second in the MVP voting. But there's something, and you know, I went back and forth with my boy about this last week because it's a nuanced conversation, and there's no right or wrong answer. You can't prove it. So that's why, you know, and so ultimately, you can just either agree to disagree or you can just go back and forth for infinity. But as we're discussing Dak, I tend to look at it and go, maybe, and I said this about the Cowboys in general, and we may have talked about it at a certain point. I don't think the Cowboys, like, we can talk about all the moves the Cowboys made, didn't make this offseason. We can kind of talk about all the decisions that they've made. I'm starting to think, and I know I've mentioned it at least once or twice, they appear to have a mental issue to me, not a talent issue. Would you agree with that or not?
My problem, I agree somewhat But I'm as you're talking, I'm sitting here soaking it in. And I'm thinking, I don't care if they let Dak go. What I care about is, what are you going to do with the money you save when you let Dak skip?
Okay. Well, all right. That's a very interesting point. I'm going to wrap mine up because yours is very interesting. And my whole point is, you can come to the conclusion that if you think that mentally, for whatever reason, Dak is not going to play his best football in the playoffs. He's got a mental block. He can't get past it. Well, let's move on because he's had a couple opportunities recently. He hadn't performed at a very high level. So if we think it's more mental than physical, and there are guys like that. The sports is littered with guys. You know, Clayton Kershaw, fantastic during the regular season.
Yeah, but
Hall of Famer ain't worth a shit in the playoffs.
How can somebody say the last ass whooping they took, how can somebody say that's Dak's fault? How can you even put that
talking
on
about Green Bay?
That's the last ass whooping they took. How can you put that on him? How can you say I'm that's just, him? No, not you, but I'm just saying, how can people say that's him? When as a whole, the team got ripped up and the defense didn't stop nobody.
No, but it was, I mean, if you say what is Dak's role in that, is they could have been down, you know, 28-27 or 28-17. The offense did nothing. So we can rip Michael Parsons and we can rip the defense for not doing anything. We can rip Mike McCarthy for whatever plays he called or didn't call. And then we could also rip Dak and the offense for saying they didn't do anything until it didn't matter. So there's enough blame in that game.
That's what I'm
to
saying.
Go around.
You can't put it all on four.
I don't think you put it all on four, but if
four gets a better game plan, maybe we do something. If you adjust, you know, to what's going on instead of sticking to that old sorry-ass game plan where you ran Tony Pollard twice and then third down and long we throwing against cover six, you know, it's stupid. It's just, what are we doing? What was the play action? I could break that shit down 9 ways from Sunday and tell you it wasn't four.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the issue, or here's the question. And we know this to be a fact. Although we don't know who believes this. Perception is reality. So if in the building they believe it's Forrest's fault, it doesn't matter whether it is or it isn't.
Okay.
It's Forrest's fault. Right. If that's what they believe.
All right. And many teams have done that, separated from somebody they shouldn't have separated from, and went, oops, we shouldn't have done that. And you're right. You're exactly right. Perception can be reality.
Oh, it damn sure can.
In a heartbeat.
And it often is. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting question is, why do you not care if they let Dak go? Because I think a lot of people, I would say maybe the majority of people, if we were taking a random poll, would feel the way that you feel.
Well, it's kind of like this. It's kind of like when you say, hey, honey, where you want to eat? I don't care, as long as you make up your mind. But if you go back and forth, now I'm like, hell, we're going to eat Whataburger. You know, this is what I'm saying. Make up your mind what you want to do with Dak, right? You want him? Is he your guy? Then give him all the resources, give him all the help. Quit lying about going all in. If you don't want him, let him go and build your team the way you want to build it. Spend the money somewhere else. You know, have a better overall team because you're not putting the resources together to support Dak. You're just going to pay him a ton of money and have the same damn cast that he got. You ain't gonna be the money's gonna restrict you from getting somebody else, and then you're gonna pay Dak all this money, and everything gonna stay the same. 12-5, get our ass whooped. If you let him go, if you make up your mind what you're gonna do, go that route. If you ain't, let's eat. That's what I'm saying.
So now you know we always have to remember Dak has one more year here.
Sure.
And you know the problem with this, and I've argued with Clarence Hill, and y'all know what it's like to argue with Clarence Hill. He's gonna be right even if he's not. Is that because I contend, and I did this on a video on Clapper the other day, and y'all should download Clapper and follow me over there. It's got a platform much similar to a TikTok, but their actions speak loudly about Dak. In terms of his contract and his money. But I believe that if the season starts and they play one regular season game and Dak has not signed a long-term contract, then I think he's gone. And that's because I just don't see a scenario where you get that close to free agency and all of a sudden you go no, I'm gonna stay in Dallas. And here's why. Many of us have experienced this. You get a job offer, and all of a sudden your company, they didn't have no money to give you no raise. All of a sudden they got $12,000 to give you as a raise now because they think you finna go somewhere. Well, you had the money all along. You just didn't want to give it to me. So you know what? I appreciate it, but I'm finna take this position over here where they thought enough about me to come get me and offer me this for the jump. Now, sometimes you do take the raise, but that's because you didn't feel disrespected. You just wanted to get a raise. And so I'm going to tell y'all a very quick story. Try not to laugh at this, dog. I was working at McDonald's. I was an all-pro at McDonald's. I could work the counter. I gave you the six steps. And then double folded the bag and presented it to you with the arches in front, just like it did on the, just like it said to do on the video. I could run a drive through and get you in and out in 30 seconds. If not, tell you please pull ahead. The food will be right out in a moment, ma'am, sir. Get you through there. 45 seconds, I think, was the number. I think that was the number. I could run the grill at lunchtime, 10 to 1 quarters. That's a quarter pounder with cheese. 10 burgers up, as soon as you flip them, put another 10 down so that you can handle a lunch crowd. I could do it all at McDonald's. I was making, don't laugh, dog, I was making a robust $3.75. Minimum wage, I think, was $3.35,
yes, sir.
So at $3.75, I was balling. And then I was working at McDonald's on Mockingbird. I wanted to get a little closer to home because I lived in Oak Cliff. I went to Keith's McDonald's, talked to a manager named Pam. I said, hey, Pam, I want to move closer to home. You guys are just down the street. I can work the drive-thru. I can work the counter. I can work the grill. I'm good at opening. I don't like to close, but I can if you need me to. Oh, my God. You are heaven sent. We would love to hire you, Jacques. I said, okay. What are you making over there? $3.75. Oh, $3.75. We can't pay you more than $3.50 over here. I said, Pam, I can do all of this. Cook, drive through, counter, open, close. I do it all. Go call the manager over there. He'll tell you I'm only leaving to be closing home, not because they don't want to get rid of me. He said I'm leaving. Well, I'm sorry, Jacques. All we got is $3.50 over here. I said, really? Okay, $3.55. I said, okay, fine. Because I really did want to be closer to home. But I was mad that all she offered me was $3.55, dog. So I started looking for another gig. Called my uncle at the Anatole. I said, man, you've been talking about giving me a job parking cars forever. Can I get one now? He's like, you know what, nephew? I got you. Let me go look. He called me back about 6 weeks later. Hey, you can start next month. I went in and told Pam, hey, Pam, I got me another job. I'm leaving. Oh, Jacques, don't leave. Don't leave.
Oh, wait. So you actually took the $3.55?
Yeah, because okay. I wanted to be close at home.
Okay, I wasn't clear on that. Gotcha. Yeah.
Don't leave, Jacques. Don't leave. We love you. Nah, I'm gone. Oh, we got $3.85 for you.
$3.85. No,
$3.85 for you. I said, Pam. Really?
That's a mess, right?
Okay. I can't go higher than $3.90.
Oh.
And if you get $3.90, you cannot tell anybody. I said, Pam, I appreciate it, but I'm gone because I asked you for $3.75 2 months ago. Now you got $3.90, so you could have gave it to me then. So I appreciate you, but I'm gone. And I left. And that's how I think Dak would feel. Like, once I get to free agency, don't come with all the money now. You had all offseason to give me all this money. I don't really want it from you now. I'm finna go somewhere where they're gonna show me some respect off the rip.
Hold on,
based
hold
off
on,
of what I can
hold
do.
Hold on. The hell with Dak. Let me go back to the McDonald's. Check this out. I don't know where I'm supposed to laugh at you at, but check this out. If a man busts his ass and he all pro at a job for $375, there ain't nothing to laugh at. If you get your picture on Employee of the Month, I appreciate you busting your ass for $375. Thank you. How about that? I ain't finna make fun of nobody that look crazy, that little goofy ass picture they put on Employee of the Month. That dude is busting his ass, is busting his hump, whatever you want to call it. He doing a great job for $375. Guess what? You should appreciate him. I see people say, oh, you got Employee of the Month at a fast food. Somebody got to be good.
You know?
Somebody got to give a damn. You know? So that's why I took a side exit with you to your exit, and I'm going to say, hey, man, good job on that. Because guess what? I sat groceries at Safeway for $3.35, and I mopped the floors for $3.35 all through high school.
Yep, see? You feel my pain.
And man. I went to school. Then when I quit school, I went to King Savers for $5.50.
Oh, $5.50.
$5.50, baby. They needed a damn person that could run the mop machine. I was good at that. Put the wax on the floor, put the truck up and sack groceries.
That man said put the truck up and sack groceries.
There you go. I did all of that. But I'm just saying, one of them comedians, Dennis Miller or somebody, had said something. I'm paraphrasing him when I say, if somebody busting their ass for $375 or minimum wage and they Employee of the Month, instead of making fun of them, you should shake their damn hand.
Yes, sir.
So that's the part where you say, don't laugh. No, I ain't laughing. That shit is true. That's some real shit right there. Bust your ass from where you at, and it bodes well for you in the future.
Yes, sir. But that's what I did. And you see how thoroughly I remember that story. Because it stuck with me.
For sure.
And it really stuck with me because I'm like, I've been a really great employee. That's why I make this. And you just nickel and diming me over, what is it, like $3 a week?
Yeah.
And it sounds crazy, but man, that story stays with me because just what you said, like I was really good at what I did, even though I was 16 years old working at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I took a lot of pride in being able to do it all because most people could only do one of them things.
Yeah, if you ever went to Safeway on Collins and 303 in Arlington and you saw a stocky ass sack boy sacking groceries, that was me.
That was you?
That was me in the 80s, in the early 80s. Throwing down over there. My first job was at K-Bob Steakhouse on 303, but I was 14. Mm. And it wasn't legal for me to work. I was probably the slowest, worst dishwasher ever had. But that's a story for another time. But, I think old Prescott, if he want to leave, I want to leave because they can't make up their mind what they want to do.
Right. And I think at a certain point, you get frustrated with that. Much from the way that Joe is talking about, either commit or don't commit. However y'all feel a certain way, but it's all good. I'm going to survive and thrive wherever I'm at, whether I'm here, whether I'm somewhere else. And I'm talking about from a Dak Prescott perspective, because Dak Prescott going to look at it like, I'm Dak Prescott, bitch. I'm going to survive wherever I am.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, if you let him get to that point, I think he's going to view it as the ultimate disrespect. Like, nah, don't wait until the end of the season, see how I do, and then come drop a bunch of money on my lap. Nah, you felt a certain way, so keep that same energy. Feel like
that. Well, the Cowboys, you know, listening to you and Todd and Clarence, I learned a lot of things. I know about football on the field, but I learned a lot of things business-wise and Cowboys-wise. And one of the things is, like, we can talk about Tyler Bedard, but what's my man name, number 60?
Biotis,
there you go. I messed his name up all the time. The one thing that y'all said that was interesting to me was, okay, if you thought he was good, don't wait till he get to free agency and somebody offer him $10 million. You could probably extend it in for $4.5 million.
Right.
You know, but you wait till the Cowboys draft well, but they don't retain nobody.
Right.
You know, it's guys littered through the league that are former Cowboys that are still balling. And I think Dak about to be one of them.
Yeah, well, some of them come in a different category in terms of you good, but the way the NFL is set up, it's really a stars and rookies league. It's not a lot of guys making million money. And if you have, and this is what I mean, if you've drafted well enough that you got 10 guys on your team with salary cap figures of $5 million or more, Well, then a guy like Biotis, you like, well, we just can't pay him. He's not good enough for us to pay him in this range. But he can go to a team like Washington that may have only three guys making $5 million or more in that. So, okay, he fits their budget because they've been drafting worth a flip, which is why they suck, and they need guys, and they can afford to absorb his salary because they don't have enough good players.
They don't have a quarterback with $55 million or $60
million. Well, that too. So, it's this is all part of the NFL being designed for parity. This is all part of it. So you have to overcome the parity to do it. But, as we get back to Dak Prescott, that's why I think – and Clarence disagrees. He goes, oh, whenever they come to him with some money, he wants to be in Dallas. I said, duh. At a certain point, your respect is worth more because the money that he's getting is not changing his lifestyle. You know what I mean? Ain't nothing he going to get with his new contract that he can't buy if he wanted it today. Be it a car, be it a house, whatever. There's nothing he can, his lifestyle will not change with the next contract, which is why he said the other day he's not necessarily interested in being the highest paid quarterback. Well, he don't need to be the highest paid quarterback if we're going to keep it real.
So let me ask you this. Is this realistic that this was my scenario that I was trying to say. If Jerry lets Dak go, is it realistic that he could build a better team with the money he was going to pay Dak? Or is it something that, is that possible? Or is it something where Jerry will just put the money in his back pocket and you're going to save that and we're not going to get a better team? Because the only reason, only thing I would accept Dak leaving is if you're going to spend the money on building your team.
I don't think you can look at it like that because when the salary cap money is not like real money. So it's not like you put it in your pocket now, per se. But whether will he be a good steward of the additional salary cap space?
That's what I'm asking.
Maybe that's the question. Who can say? Who can say? He might not be. That's why I'm never an advocate for players saying, yeah, I'll take the hometown discount because of what you just said. I can't determine what they do with the discount. Yeah. Maybe they'd be like, ain't no good free agencies this year, so we ain't going to spend it. Whoa!
Yeah.
Well, then I could have kept it this year.
Yeah.
Or they go, we're going to spend it on Jacques Taylor. Like, the hell you do that for, dog? He can't play.
Yeah.
So you're not in control of that. So I'm like, you know what, man? Lynn, you just give me my money because that's what I'm concerned about. And y'all job is to figure out how to put the whole puzzle together. It's not my job to give y'all no discount. Like I say all the time, real talk. When is the last time the Cowboys discounted anything for their fan base? I got time. I just sit here.
No shit.
Like, really? When is the last time the Cowboys gave the fans a hometown discount on anything? And I ain't mad at them. But when's the last time that happened? Never. To my knowledge. So just think about the gall it has to even imply, insinuate that a player should give any kind of discount. Cowboys ain't gave a discount to ticket holders in forever. Not on parking, not on concessions, nothing. They charge as much as they can get away with charge. And if you do business with them, they just take it from you. Because you should be happy to be doing business with the Cowboys. And that is their right and their privilege as the most valuable franchise in the league. But I ain't never going to co-sign on anybody doing them a favor because they don't do favors for nobody else. And I ain't mad at them about that. That's business.
Right, right.
I ain't mad about it. David, who does the content, can I tell you something, dog? David sends your boy a bill on the 19th of every month. You know what I mean? That's just the nature of the beast. Hey, you like my content, bro? Here's the invoice for you to continue to like it. And at any given point, I can say, hey, man, I love you. But from a business perspective, I don't love your content no more. That's just the nature of the beast. I ain't mad at him. He ain't mad at me. It's just what it is.
Shit, I ain't mad at nobody.
No. But we all got choices. And so the Cowboys, that's how they roll. So my opinion is that if Dak Prescott goes into the 2024 regular season without a contract, y'all should enjoy him because this will be his last year here. And I believe Trey Lance will be the next quarterback, provided he shows you anything in training camp in the preseason. And then, you know, really you're starting the quarterback journey. And it could be seamless like it was from Romo to Prescott. It could be very seamless like that. Or it could be 6 years like it was from Aikman to Romo, and kind of like it was from Danny White to Aikman. You know, or it could be, you know, 25 years like it's been for Dan Marino to Tua Tagovailoa.
Or maybe it'd be Bledsoe to Tony Romo. How about that? That's short time right there.
Well, we ain't really counting Bledsoe because Bledsoe was part of the stop gaps between Aikman and Romo. That makes sense to you?
Yeah, but Bledsoe was kind of a big deal when he was here.
Yeah, but he proved not to be. He proved to be done.
Yeah.
They thought he could solve the problem, but he couldn't. He was washed up, which is interesting because he wasn't necessarily that old.
He didn't like getting hit, man.
I didn't want to say it like that, but
yeah, he didn't like. I said he didn't.
That was the problem.
He didn't like that contact.
That was the problem.
Well, when he got hit by Mo Lewis and damn near died, that'll make you shuffle your feet sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I say this all the time. I used to say it all the time. I say it now when it's called for, and you know, y'all just had to bear with my language. Ain't no bitches playing in the National Football League. None. Zero. The softest dude in the National Football League, whoever you deem that to be, is a tough 12-letter cuss word because you can't play in the league and be a bitch. You just can't. You know, at some point along the way, you had to man up to get to the league. And like I said, amongst the guys in the league, you may be soft. But in the general world, the softest NFL player is a bad dude. That's kind of like the softest UFC fighter to me. You know, he might be softer than UFC, but if he saw you on the streets, you would think twice. You know, that happened. I saw a video about that the other day. This dude was unloading his truck, moving from an apartment, unloading his truck. And some guy, based on the video, some guy he didn't know, just walked up to him and started talking to him. And they exchanged words, and he got out the truck. And then they continued to exchange words, and the guy assumed a fighting stance. And this was a classic case of just because you're bigger than a dude, you don't know who you was messing with. That dude was a UFC guy, an MMA guy. Man, he went in and grabbed him by the waist and did some jujitsu move on him and picked him up and slammed him down on the concrete and ground and pound on him for about 10 seconds and then walked up and went back to unloading his truck.
Well, toughness is relative to what your environment is.
Right.
Because I can take a 150-pound scout and he'd be tougher than all them cats.
True that.
He had to be a badass OB to be 150 pounds, survive all that gear and all that training and all the rest of the stuff and the bullshit and the comments that he gonna get from other people. I seen guys 150 pounds that I go to war with any day. It just depends on how tough you are. All that UFC stuff and all that. Let's climb Mount Tiferet in the Mojave Desert and see how tough you are. Then let's go back down Mount Tiferet. Let's sit in the OP for 6 days and wait for one little field train to go by, call spy report and go back down. I don't know. It's just different stuff like that. People always, tough is relative to where you at, and there's more than one way to be tough.
Yes, it is.
Woman push a 10-pound baby out of her body. That's pretty damn tough.
10-pound baby? Hell yeah.
Any pound baby they rip from your body, that's tough. Yeah, my wife did it 3 times when she said she wasn't going to do it once. I don't know. Mm. There you go.
On that note, let's take a trip around the block.
Around the block. You never know what you're going to get over here.
I got 2 topics for you. I did some, you know, I've been trying to expand myself lately meaning the last several months. I've been trying to go outside my comfort zone and do things I don't normally do. And some of that is because I don't know how many of y'all know this, and I don't know how many of y'all would even expect it, but I'm really kind of a loner. I enjoy myself, and so I enjoy being by myself. And I don't like fooling with a lot of people, per se. And so, given a choice, a lot of times, I'll just stay at the house. And I have tried to change that because I think I should be better. Meaning, if a friend invites you somewhere, they're really looking kind of for you to come. Because they, you know, maybe they haven't seen you in a minute or whatever. And in the past, I've really been a no-show, no-call kind of guy. I don't even call and say I'm not coming. I just don't show up. Because at a certain level, I've thought, well, I'm going to use Joe for an example. Not that this happened. Joe invited me to a party. A big party.
It wouldn't happen.
You stop it. You know, some kind of celebration party, 31st anniversary at the truck. And he invites me, and I don't come. And I don't come because I'm like, I don't feel like driving out there. I don't feel like answering a bunch of freaking cowboy questions. I don't feel like being bothered. And then Joe's going to have 50 people there. So it's not a big deal if I don't show up. He ain't going to miss me. Da, 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 da. And then I might talk to Joe 2 weeks later. Dog, why you ain't show up at the party? Oh, you was looking for me? Yeah, sent you an invite, fool. I'm like, oh, my bad. Well, see, what happened was when I was doing my own analysis of myself, and everybody should do some self-analysis sometime, I was really making it about me and not about the person at the party. And so I just decided, this is a long way of me saying, I've just decided to accept many more invitations and go to them, even if I don't feel like it, because I just need to do it. And you never know who you'll meet when you're out and about, and, you know, it just need to be better. So my boy, this is where I'm going with this, invited me to his birthday party last night. Or his wife did. So I didn't know if it was a surprise party or not. And it was at an event with live music, which I got to tell you, bro, 99% of the time I would not go. Because I was like, I don't want to hear all the damn music. I don't want to be around all the damn people. Not when I could be at home chilling, relaxing. But I went, and guess what, man? I had a great time. And it was live music, and the band that was playing, and it was at Memphis South. Is that the name of the thing? I think it's called Memphis South in Addison, Beltline and Addison.
Shit, everything on Beltline and Addison, bro. That's Restaurant Row right there.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. The band was good. They played a bunch of hits, mostly from the 80s, some from the 90s, Memphis nightclub in Addison. And dude, it was, I was there people watching, and that was funny. And then my boy, who I've known since high school, him and his wife actually was on stage dancing for a minute because everybody in the band knew him. And then, you know, I'm always humbled by this because we're sitting on the front row. One of the guys is singing. He looks at me, goes, Jean-Jacques Taylor? And I'm like, yeah, gave him the pound. He's like, hey, it's Dallas Morning News columnist right there. Y'all give it up. And I was like, look at this. I'm just out here enjoying myself. And so I had a good time, man. And so I was like, you know what? I may have to go see some more live music because it was just a really good time. People, and it wasn't a crowded venue, but the people was all in the aisle dancing. And it was just a cool vibe. And so it reminded me that it's good for me to go outside my comfort zone and get out there with the people from time to time.
I hear you. I ain't mad at it. It is what it is. I get invited to stuff all the time. Matter of fact, I got invited to a Cinco de Mayo celebration. And then
that's coming up.
The people that invited me, they was like, you coming, right? I said, I heard you. I heard that. You know, maybe, probably not, but I appreciate you inviting me, but I might get out that way. Ain't no telling.
Well, that leads to the question, why wouldn't you go?
Because I'm a homebody,
Because the same reasons I was given?
I look at it a little different because, well, I look at us being the same in that aspect because we spent a lot of our careers traveling.
Yeah.
And going places that we did for work. And I met interesting people going places, and I've done a lot of stuff, whether it be the military, truck driving, what have you. But I relish the fact that I can sit still. I relish the fact that I can spend a whole damn Saturday watching movies and not doing nothing. Because in, you know, 4 years before now, I was doing everything. You ever look on Google? I remember I was messing around my phone one time, and I looked at Google, and I went back. Google goes back about, 10 years, that they follow your every move. I don't know how I got to that.
What you mean?
Google will follow your every move for a whole day, a whole week. You can look
I'm sorry, define follow your every move.
Okay, so I run a route. So let's say I ran a route to Phoenix.
Right.
I go to Phoenix. Google knows all the places I went in Phoenix. Then it knows that I got back home in 2 days to Fort Worth. It knows I stopped in Stanton, Texas to get something to drink. It knows
where
I drove.
Did it?
I don't know. I looked it up. I don't remember. But I'm telling you, this is what it told me. Then it told me I got home on a Saturday. I got home and I was home for 4 hours, and then I went to Burleson to coach a football game. Then I coached another football game in Cleburne. And then I went to On the Border, took my family out. And then I went home, and I was home for 12 hours, and then I went back to work. It shows everything that you've done over time. And it's pretty wild if you look at it, how I used to do 33 things in a day, and now I have time to sit there and not do a damn thing. Well, until Ms. Harfield reminds me I got some damn things to do.
You got some damn things to do.
That's right. You got to, hey, you remember this? Hey, were you supposed to do? Okay, I got you. I need to get my ass up. All right. So that's the thing is if you look at, I don't know
it's
if you
called, was. I think it's called location history.
There you go. I was just fooling around and I found it and I was going, damn, I was doing 30 things in one day. And then today, you know, so I'm more of a loner in the aspect of I don't mind being here. It's like I tell people all the time, I pay bills in Fort Worth since 2001, but I've lived in Fort Worth since 2020.
Right.
See what I'm saying? I pay for the house and the kids and all that to live here and that stuff. I've been retired pretty much since 2020. So now I'm living here. And while everybody, my daughter and my wife, they ready to get out of Fort Worth. Hell, I just started me. I just feel like I just lived here. And I love this place. So it's all good. So I understand. So I said all that to say I identify with what you're saying. You know, and all this stuff.
You learn something new every day. Location history is a Google account setting that creates a timeline, a personal map that, listen to this, that helps you remember. Like, I didn't ask y'all to help me remember.
Yeah.
Places you go, routes and destinations, trips you take. It can even give you personalized experience across Google based on where you go. When location history is on, even when Google apps aren't in use.
Yeah.
Your device location is regularly saved to your devices, your servers. I love the way they make this seem like this is all for you. This ain't for me. This is for y'all to spy on me.
Yeah. It tripped me out when it went back. Like I said, 10 years, you know.
Yeah. And everybody don't need to go out. Everybody don't need to know I was going to Five Guys every day at noon.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, hey, eat healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't nobody need to know all that.
Yeah. You never, like you said, you never know. But yeah, I tripped out on that because, like I said, I did 20 million things between coaching football and working and going to the range and all that. It was like, it wasn't enough time in a day. And I sure as hell didn't sleep that much. I worked off about four, you know my history. I work off about 3 or 4 hours of sleep. I used to.
Right.
That's another thing, getting all the sleep you want. Sometime, I would say this for retirement, find you a hobby, find you something to do, because being at home every day, Sometimes it can be overrated.
No, I think it is.
Yeah, I think around here I'm in the way sometimes. Yeah, I need to get out of people's way. They got things to do.
Most definitely.
Yeah, so it's one of them things where, yeah, I found some good hobbies. Podcasting is one. Like, you know, a lot of people don't know, I podcast before we got together, and at the time, I was learning from you and Matt, who knew we was going to work together.
Right.
That's pretty cool right there, because I was using you for a resource way before we got together.
Yes, sir.
And when I text you, ask you a question, you ask Matt, then Matt would tell you, and then you tell me. And here I am producing with your ass. There you go. It's a hobby. Drones a hobby. Shooting is a hobby. Teaching shooting is a hobby. I'm going to try to learn roof inspection when I get my license. A lot of different things that people can do that you need to pick up something, you know, to interact with people or just to keep you interested, you know, and keep you moving.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I can play video games all day, every day, but, you know.
Let's move on to our nutrition tip of the week. Have you eaten much organic food?
No, I don't think so. I think my wife brings some organic stuff in here. She's sneaking in here on me. And I think I've eaten some place called Salad to Go. They got some organic lettuce or something. Right, it tastes like paper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, y'all know by now, I enjoy, I'm going to call them either bougie grocery stores or gourmet grocery stores.
Yeah, it's about the same thing. Are you talking about them $140 cookies or something you was talking about?
No, those are just, that's just a store.
You ain't never heard of Cookie Crumble or whatever that is?
Yeah, my boy owns one. Nah, let me not lie. I've heard of it, but I was in Trader Joe's. Have you been to Trader Joe's before?
Yeah.
I like Trader Joe's because they have unusual stuff there. And I was there because I was working at a coffee shop across the street. And I was like, oh, Trader Joe's, let me go check it out. And so while I was over there, yeah, man, I can't pass up a grocery store and not do a little bit of shopping. I was seeing if they had anything of note. And so I picked up some organic chicken wings, just regular chicken wings. But they said organic on the front. Cage-free birds, organic.
Wait. So if they let the birds walk around, they going to taste different?
Yeah.
I had to hear the music for that. I'm sorry.
No, for real. There's no cap, though. So, and, you know, now you know me. I done asked, why and how.
What about if you read to the birds? What about if the birds listen to, like, rock music? Are they going to taste a little more spicy? I don't know. That's just crazy, man. Grass-fed and all that. I don't know.
No, Doug. Here's where I'm going with this.
Gotcha.
So I had never had that before, and I looked at the price, and the price was not that much different. Because I'm a price guy. Like, when I go shopping, I step up to the register and go, okay, this should be about $188. And I'm usually within $3 or $4. So I pay attention to, like, what stuff costs. So the organic chicken wings sections was literally not that much more expensive than what I buy at Tom Thumb or whatever. So I said, let me try these and see if they taste any different. And, bruh, I tasted them, and I was like, whoa. This is different. And I texted one of my friends who's into organic food. And I said, hey, man, I just had some organic chicken wings. And they taste different. He goes, you daggone right they do. And it's hard for me to explain the difference in taste. But it was just different. And I don't want to say it tasted fresher, but it just tasted different. And I've been trying to figure out how to describe the difference in taste.
Somebody out there in podcast land, which I got a friend of mine down in Houston, he's going to talk shit because he's going to say, y'all don't know the difference between, listen, I don't know the difference between organic and non-organic. Maybe it's the drugs they put in there. I don't know.
It's, and so, no, you're right. It's about drugs and no drugs. And so I was just like, is this a Jedi mind trick or is this really the thing? And so when I finished working out today, which is Sunday, I hadn't had a steak in about a month. And I was like, you know what? I'm in the mood for a steak today. And I was going to a real butcher shop that my friend had recommended, but it was about 10 minutes away, and with traffic in side streets, it was going to take me 25 minutes to get there, and I was like, I don't want to go there that bad. And so I went to my other favorite bougie store, Whole Foods, and went to the butcher over there and got some grass-fed steak for the first time. And bought it. Matter of fact, I had them cut it in half because it was too thick. And I ate it, and I was like, this feels like a Jedi mind trick because it tastes a little bit better than the usual. And so I sent my friend another text. I said, dog, I'm trying not to trip on this, but this organic food tastes just a little bit different. It's a little more, I don't know what it is. And then he said something about air-chilled chicken. Have you ever heard of air-chilled chicken?
No, man. Listen,
I hadn't heard of it until last week, man.
If you ain't, if your bougie ass ain't heard of it, then I ain't heard of it, all right, man? Yeah, listen. I'm not playing a character here. I drove a damn truck. You understand what I'm saying? I've been in the military. I drove a truck. Hell no, I ain't heard of no air chill chicken.
I'm not that kind. Myself,
as a former truck driver, I don't know if I'm even say, yeah, I eat air chill chicken.
Okay.
Or I eat uncaged chicken.
Cage free.
Cage free. Uncaged.
Chicken that wasn't slaves. How about that?
That shit wasn't even funny.
It was not funny.
No.
You know it was.
No.
Dog.
No. That's some give us free. You need some diversity. You know what? I know
the
you
chicken
didn't,
was like give
I know
us
you,
free.
I know you didn't say give us free. You need some diversity training, dog. What's wrong with you? Give us free. Chad sent Kate. Send Kate. Give us free. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
What's your brother gonna think about that? That's funny. Yeah.
My brother's name is Sinkay.
Yeah, hey, Jazz Sinkay.
This is what it is with air chilled chicken, because I had never heard of it until last week. But it made sense to me when my friend told me this. Goodness. Because I had some chicken in the freezer, and I took it out and let it thaw out when I was this was like a few weeks ago, and I was laughing when I came back because it was about a third of the size of when I took it out of the refrigerator, because it had so much stuff in it, water and all this other stuff. And as it thawed out, the water and stuff came out of the chicken, and so it shrunk.
Yeah, well, it makes the chicken drier too.
What?
When you freeze it, Gordon Ramsay, yeah. I just watch Gordon Ramsay sometime. When you freeze stuff, it gets a layer of water.
Oh,
if you don't,
exactly
if you don't vacuum seal it, it gets a layer of water in there. And then when the water comes off the product, it makes it more dry.
You're exactly right.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what air-chilled chicken is.
It's chicken that got air conditioning?
Basically.
What about when they was alive? They was alive, they got
air conditioning? Nah, they was out in the sun then, man. But here's what happens.
Lord.
It's what you're talking about. Water-chilled chicken becomes waterlogged during the process and water-absorbed during the process. Mm-hmm. You know, makes it drier, just like you said. So you're 100% right. Air chilled chicken, they do it where they literally put it in a freezer and chill it with air as opposed to putting it in. Let me see, I didn't say it right. They hang it out and they keep it at 40 degrees so it doesn't really get frozen. Then, like you said, they kind of vacuum seal it.
A lot of your hamburger meat depends. You know, I delivered the restaurants for a long time, and a lot of your hamburger meat is like that. It's never frozen. Your Wendy's meat and Whataburger meat.
That's what they talk about.
Yeah,
it's never being frozen.
It's never frozen. It's chill, and it's got to be 33 degrees or lower.
Yep.
If it's 36 degrees, they would not take it.
See, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, here's what was interesting. They said if you love grilled, roasted, or pan-seared chicken with crispy golden skin, air-chilled chicken is ideal because the process uses no added water. The skin remains taut, never soggy, and that's why it tastes a little bit different. Because I was reading it, it's like it tastes different because it holds the seasonings better, and that's kind of why it tastes different. But anyway.
Well, you get – that's why when you deliver restaurants, you get chill. That stuff is chill most of the time, and it's a little more fresh than you think.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Some of the restaurants, Wingstop, for instance, They get fresh chicken like that.
And so it says that, and see, this was interesting too. It said because the chicken is air chilled instead of frozen, it weighs less. So you actually get more when you go into the store because they charge you, you know, by the pound or whatever. If it's frozen, they can actually charge you a little bit more. But anyway,
oh, this can I put a PSA out there? PSA yeah. to somebody for people, public service announcement for people who shop at Walmart, buy their meat at Walmart. Walmart been overcharging you for the weight in your meat. So if you got receipts to Walmart, you can go to Walmart and you can get $25 with no receipts. But they're going back 9 years and you can get up to $500 because they've been cheating you on the weight of your meat.
See, who knew that? See, this all kind of stuff you learn on Jack Talk, man.
Roger that. Take that with you because it's at least $25. It'll be up to $500. And they're going back 9 years for people.
That's very interesting. I'm going to do some reading on that. The bottom line to this is, based off the chicken, based off the steak I had today, and based off some Granny Smith apples I had last week, I've decided I'm going to start eating more organic. Now, it costs more, and so real talk, I mean, it costs more. And so real talk, you have to, you know, I'm not sure I'm going organic with everything, because if you're used to paying $4.99 a pound for some chicken breast, and now it's $7.99 a pound, that's a big difference. Or $6.59 a pound, that's a big difference. But it tastes better, and it's better for you, and so I think I just have to get used to paying a little bit more. I'm not saying everybody should do that, because some people don't care and some people don't notice. But I did and I have. And I think, because I've been thinking about it, as you can tell, for a minute. And I think I'm just going to go try organic for a period of time and see if over a period of time I really feel a difference, taste a difference. And then I'm going to go back and try some regular stuff. And if I eat organic for, let's say, 2 or 3 months, and then I go back and eat some stuff that's not organic, I should be able to tell the difference. And if I can't, then it'll be like, oh, okay, I don't know what the big deal is. I just go back to eating regular. Right. What do you think?
I think this is what I think. I ain't worried about that right there. Let me tell you about this right here. Whole food. When you mention Whole Foods,
yeah,
I was looking to order something on Amazon one day, and I was looking, and one of the places they had for me was Whole Foods.
Right.
Now, all that organic stuff you just mentioned, that kind of make me interested in Whole Foods more. But I saw something. I wanted something to drink, and I'm trying to cut down on my sugar. And I saw Waterloo.
Yes.
So one of the flavors, the blueberry stuff, somebody gave that 3 stars. The black cherry stuff. Huh?
Very berry.
Yeah. The black cherry. The black cherry got 5 stars.
What flavor is outstanding?
What flavor you drink, and how does it taste?
I drank them all. Well, let me stop. I do not drink them all. I have tried them all. Pineapple is my favorite. Tropical fruit is my second favorite, and it's almost in a dead heat with pineapple. I mean, it's virtually a dead heat. It's a photo finish.
Right.
Strawberry is probably also a photo finish with them other three. Then comes very berry. Then comes black cherry. Surprisingly, apple cinnamon is up there. I would have never thought I liked apple cinnamon, but
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Watermelon is good. You don't drink, but if you mix it with watermelon Ciroc, it is like on a different planet.
Okay.
It's fantastic. All right. So here's the thing about, and black cherry is really good. Matter of fact, it's really powerful to me. That sounds weird, but it is. And here's the thing about sparkling water. I think it's fantastic. I tried several different types of sparkling water. I mean, I tried damn near every one that exists before I came to Waterloo, and I was like, this is the first one I drink that tastes good to me. Have you had club soda before?
Yeah.
Do you like club soda?
No.
Okay. This has a club soda feel to it. But what happens is, now, again, I believe I'm the only one in my family who likes it. I believe they've tried it. It's a little bit, it's not a great, I mean, it's a little bit of an acquired taste. Just a little bit. It's not like, you know, tasteful. But here's what it is. It smells great. It smells just like whatever the flavor is. And when I say black cherry has a really robust taste to it, black cherry damn near tastes just like it smells. But I don't know how to describe it because it's a natural taste. So, you know, it's not like it's a soda where that's what it is. It's just a, it just, you know.
I'll check it out. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to talk to my nutritionist about that.
Oh, it's great for you. Make sure that's good. I mean, as long as you don't have, I mean, I don't, it's really water. There's nothing in it. When you look at the ingredients.
Well, it's like drinks like vitamin water. Vitamin water has a lot of phosphorus in it. And phosphorus is bad for your heart when they put those chemicals in there. That's why I always run stuff by my nutritionist.
This, I'm looking at the ingredients. Purified carbonated water, natural flavoring. That's it.
Yeah, but they break it down. What I'm saying is they break it down a little more than that.
Yeah.
They go through the they go through the deal with the hidden stuff and all of that. But yeah, I was gonna order a case of that. I just meant to ask you about it, and since we was talking about Whole Foods and all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I got a case of pineapple and a case of tropical fruit in my refrigerator right now, and then I got about 12 individual cans broken up between Very Berry and Black Cherry in my fridge.
Yeah, I don't think I could ever drink Very Berry.
What?
It just won't. The recon in me won't let me drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't do Very
and
Berry.
And then I got about 10 cases on my counter right now.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to, outside of water and some energy drinks, it's the only other thing I drink. Yeah. So I don't like to ever get low on it.
Yeah.
And so I basically every time I go to the store, I come back with a case or two so that I'm never close to running out.
Okay.
It's my favorite drink. I probably drink on an average day, I would say 3 or 4. On a heavy day, I might drink 6 or 8.
Yeah.
I rarely drink less than 1 or 2.
Yeah, it's a sponsor too, ain't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's one of the things I was wondering about. I was going to taste some, see what it tastes like. But, yeah, I'm just trying to get down on the sugar. And sometimes you just end up drinking something just to have a taste. No, and ends up with a lot of sugar stuff. But
yeah, you know, I told you before, I can't stand drinking calories. I like to eat calories, not drink them. Mm-hmm. And sparkling water is a great way to the carbonation will help fill you up as well. So
before we get off of him, you coming to the crawfish ball?
When is it?
I was hoping you'd say no, but that's just me.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just
seven letter cuss word.
I haven't decided yet, but yeah, I'm gonna invite you. Last year I didn't invite. Well, not last year. Maybe
no. Tell the truth, shame.
No. 2 or 3 years ago. I didn't invite I had a crawfish ball like 2 years ago, first time. It's going to be the second time. And first time I didn't invite a lot of people because I didn't think I was going to get it right. So it was more of a test deal. It was like about 5 of us. I did about 15 pounds, maybe about 5 or 6 of us, about 15 pounds. And it was kind of during COVID a little bit. So I made sure everybody was vaccinated and all of that. And then I had a crawfish ball, and it turned out pretty good. This time, I'm going to try to get a head count and get more crawfish. And I think me and my brother can handle it this time. But last time, I wasn't sure what the hell I was doing. And it turned out, we didn't know what we was doing. It took us about 6 hours to do some damn crawfish.
Why it take so long?
Oh, chopping the stuff up, getting it right. We didn't understand what it took to make a rolling boil on the damn. You got to get a rolling ball going on the pot. And we were sitting there looking at the damn water with the top off. We didn't know. You know, you just got to put the top on there. That shit will ball pretty damn quick. But we was just sitting there burning it going, when is it going to get to a rolling ball? So it's a lot of things we YouTube and we didn't know. And we was getting bits and pieces of information. That's one of the things my brother had me laughing about. He goes, remember, put the lid on it and the pot of the water will get hot and it'll be a rolling boil. And all right, then. So we seasoned it, and then we left some in a long time, and we took some out too fast. It turned out to be pretty good, but this time we think it's going to be better, and we know a little bit more to do. We had a crawfish ball, and then we fried catfish, and it turned out pretty good.
All right, that sounds like a winner. Mm-hmm. All right, that's a good way to end our conversation about food and nutrition today. Remember, you can always follow the show on The Real Jacques Talk on YouTube. Promise you, we got an announcement coming soon. We've been working hard on a couple things that I really think you'll enjoy. So we need you to go to the YouTube channel. It's The Real Jacques Talk. Subscribe, rate, review, leave a comment. We'd appreciate it. You can always follow the show on IG at The Real Jacques Talk. Hit me up on Twitter, X, at JJT Journalist. And remember, if you think you follow me, you probably don't, because my account was hijacked. And then please, if you want your Cowboys information, go to the Clapper. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor is the handle. We appreciate Grinning Law and our friends at Smokey John's Barbecue. The show does not happen without them. Now, for Big Joe and the Big Rig, we appreciate y'all. Until we chat again, you guys be blessed.